Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is podcast 831 of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can get us all the time at RadioMD.com or iHeart or a number of other sites, ageproof.life as well, and a number of other ones. We have a great lineup today. In fact, it's an unusual show because I'm going to have Dr. Edwin Posaitis of UCLA. He runs the Cedars-Sinai Urologic Oncology Program. We'll come back to that in just a second, but I'm going to start out with him rather than the guest at the end. We're starting with the guest, and then we'll have the news of the week. I'll talk about who benefits from exercise in Alzheimer's disease. We'll also talk about your gut rhythm and how they affect your health. What the new nutritional data says about butter and eggs, don't eat them. We'll come back to that as well. And the odd omegas on stress, the data is in. It does make you gain weight. Are women more at risk of addiction than men? Yep, and we'll say why. And we'll also talk about why men are worse at being sick than women. But first, let me introduce Dr. Edwin Posaitis. He is the medical director of the Urologic Oncology Program at Cedars-Sinai Comprehensive Cancer Institute. He's directly involved in something called a nano Velcro chip. What that is something that does blood biopsies. That is, if you have cancer, maybe you don't need to have surgery or more x-rays to find out how you're doing. Maybe a blood biopsy works. Let's bring him in and really find out. Dr. Posaitis, thank you for being here.
Hi, it's a great pleasure to be with you, Dr. Roizen.
And you were actually, we didn't share any time together. I was chair of anesthesia at the University of Chicago, where I guess you did a little bit of your fellowship training.
Actually, that was my first post after my fellowship for 5 years. It's a lovely city and a great hospital.
It is, but Cedars of Sinai is even a more wonderful place, if you can say more wonderful, but it has recruited a lot of skilled people. And is Bruce Gewirtz still there? He used to be.
Bruce Gewirtz is still here, yes.
He used to be chair of surgery when I was chair of anesthesia, critical care, and pain management and ran the executive health program at the University of Chicago.
He's a great man, so I followed him out here.
So he recruited you, which means you're obviously outstanding. Let me go and ask, what is a blood biopsy, and why should we think about it at all?
Sure. This is a very interesting and exciting area in research right now. Cancer is one of the areas that's particularly interested in the idea of conducting a blood biopsy, because we believe that when someone has cancer, that cancer is reflected in the bloodstream. The fascinating thing about blood is, you know, while it's so easy to get and we take it for granted, almost everyone knows when they go to see a doctor, they'll have some blood testing done. No one's really averse to that, but the amount of information that's in there far exceeds the standard chemistries and blood counts that we typically do. Within the blood, there are cells, and there's a liquid component also. That liquid component, or plasma, actually carries not just proteins, but DNA and RNA. Those can be looked at in one way, and within the cellular compartment of the blood, you can get everything from your red cells, which you see easily, to the immune-fighting cells or the white cells that are present, and even in rare amounts, for someone with cancer, cancer cells are actually shed into that bloodstream. And we believe that with the technology that we have in 2017, you can treat those cancer cells, or you can study those cancer cells in a fashion very similar to what we do when we take a biopsy with a needle, or when a surgeon goes in to cut out a piece of tissue to put on a slide to help us to analyze cancers at their very molecular nature.
Now, Dr. Posaitis, let me ask you, so this is the cellular component. You've got to, you're looking at the cells, they've got to be very few and far between, obviously, if they're a cancer, which means you must somehow concentrate either the cells or the plasma. How does that work? Or is, I'm fascinated by the name, a Velcro clip. Do you just bind, does it somehow have magical binding for the cancer cells?
Well, the fascinating thing about technology these days is sometimes tech does seem like magic, and you don't even think about it at times. I remember being a kid and how big computers were at one point, and now I have more power in my iPhone than I do with the old gigantic computers I used to play with as a kid. And the same is becoming true of the kind of cellular isolation technologies that we have present. So you're right. The nano Velcro chip was designed by my research partner, Professor Shenrong Sang, at UCLA. It's a very clever piece of machinery. It's about as small as a quarter, and it runs and through which we can actually run samples of blood. The chip itself is made of a polymer plastic that has very fine-like hair-like projections on it. Those hair-like projections are coated with different substances, antibodies and other trap substances, which interact with small hair-like projections that exist also on cancer cells. And when those two things come together, it looks under a microscope, under a very powerful microscope, not unlike the interaction, the physical interaction you see between the two Velcro surfaces as they come together, hence the name nano Velcro. It's just, again, at a much, much more tiny, i.e. nano.
So you're able to take a larger blood sample, run it through this quarter-like, hair-like device, and capture the cancer cells. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. In fact, we can make adjustments and what we use as trap substances to kind of refine the way that the device captures different cells. So we can capture cancer cells. We can even capture, I think, smaller than cancer cells, little packets of information that are covered in a cell surface membrane without a nucleus. These are called exosomes or oncosomes, and they can also be informative. So we've been having a tremendous time exploring all the information that we're able to pull out of the bloodstream using this very, very novel and exciting technology.
And now, when you do this, can you also get receptor types of the cells? In other words, one of the major advances, for example, in breast cancer, I know, is the difference in receptor types and gene types predict which therapies will work. Are you at that stage with prostate cancer or urologic cancers or with this technique?
So yes and no. So you're absolutely thinking the way that people in the field are thinking, Dr. Royce. When certain receptors are expressed on the surface of the cell, these types of cell surface, the kind of the outer coating receptors, actually can be used as trap substances for the nano Velcro that we use. There are some receptors, like steroid receptors, that aren't expressed on the surface of the cell. They exist within the cytoplasm and within the nucleus. We can't use those to affect capture. One of the important steroid receptors in prostate cancer, is, as you and many of your listeners may know, is the androgen receptor, that which takes a modified form of testosterone into the cell to make to allow the cancer cell to really kind of go nuts, the fuel for the cancer. So there we can't go, but we can use a device, even when the receptors aren't expressed on the surface, to describe or to count the number of receptors that are present. So one very exciting area in prostate cancer is the recognition that in the face of different types of treatment, the androgen receptor can change. And there are what we call variant receptors that seem to be very important for us in terms of determining which patient should go on what kind of therapy. We've been able to show, and we have an upcoming paper in a journal called Advanced Materials that will show our capacity to actually identify these androgen receptor variants. You know, and this is only the beginning. So I think I would tell you, prostate.
So this is pretty impressive. You use technology to capture the cells. You're then able to use the newer techniques that identify receptors and probably get therapies that are more effective than others. We have question that got sent in, and this is is this just for cancer that has spread beyond the prostate, or should this be used before you get surgery to find out if you've got cells in your blood already? In other words, do these cells, I guess what he's asking is a very good question is, if you've got cells in your blood, does that mean you automatically have metastases past the prostate, or could some of these just be dead cells?
So I'll tell you, that's a very good, insightful, and important question. The place that a lot of these things have been developed is in more advanced cancer patients, merely because there are a lot more of these cells floating around in the bloodstream. As the technology has improved, we're actually able to capture cells from patients who do not have recognized metastatic disease because, as you said, Dr. Roizen, sometimes they're shed from the tumors, and sometimes they're dying. So we can capture those things, and we can still study them. They're useful. An important question is the kind of the last part of what you've asked. Could you do this before surgery to figure out, are you doing the right thing? Now, one thing that we have learned is that men with localized prostate cancer, they do actually have circulating tumor cells present that can be detected with some of the more advanced technologies like the one that we're using. Whether that tells you, whether that guarantees that this is a patient who's going to fail surgery is not altogether clear, because the immune system and the body's natural defenses can handle a certain number of these things and clear them out of the bloodstream. We think there may be a molecular signature present in the cancer cells that comes from the original tumor, however. They may help us to determine whether or not certain patients are higher or lower surgical risks beyond what we're already getting from blood testing and biopsies before a patient goes to the OR.
So I take it this, now, obviously, Caesar's Sinai is on the cutting edge of a lot of technology. And you being there are on the cutting edge as well, just because you are, I know. So is this, how available is this? I should tell you, before you answer that question, I run the top 10 innovations group here at the Cleveland Clinic. That is the group that comes out with the top 10 innovations or predictions. And we predicted that blood biopsies would be one of those top 10 innovations that reached clinical significance this year, largely based on the data for breast cancer, not for prostate cancer. But is this, how widely, I guess it was the correct way of phrasing this, is this available, or are we just at the beginning stages of this?
I'll tell you what, circulating tumor cell tests, as you know, Dr. Roizen, have already been FDA approved. There's one that's on the market now. It doesn't do what we're talking about here with the blood biopsy. Our device, the NanoVelcro device, is currently being reviewed by the FDA for 510K clearance. That would mean that we're able to put this thing into another clinic and say that it's a medically useful device and that it performs the way that it should. The next generation things that we're discussing right now that allow us to do the molecular characterization, even down to the single cell level, we've actually published a paper on that where we've done whole genome sequencing on individual circulating tumor cells. Those are a little more experimental and harder, and really harder to use in a general clinic. We're doing a lot of that work here at Cedars for limited patients, but I think as the device is kind of brought out into the market, we'll probably be able to offer some of the selected genomic profiling techniques, at least on a limited basis, in the not too distant future. We're quite excited about it. In fact, just to put this out there, our group is part of a White House-initiated movement, part of the Cancer Moonshot program, where we have joined what's called the Blood Profiling Atlas in Cancer, which is a consortium of folks interested in these blood biopsies, represented by different universities, some industry partners, and even the FDA and the National Cancer Institute sit as part of this panel in order to try to accelerate these technologies, because they're so badly needed in the clinic and so greatly desired by both patients and physicians. So I think these things are going to come a lot faster than we had once thought.
So you've been listening to Dr. Edwin Posidas and myself discussing blood biopsies and their new technique, the Nano Velcro Chip from Cedars-Sinai's Comprehensive Cancer Institute in Los Angeles. Dr. Poseidis is director of Translational Oncology Program and the medical director of the Urologic Oncology Program at that Comprehensive Cancer Institute at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles. He's associate professor in the Department of Medicine at Cedars-Sinai and a member of the faculty of the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA. Dr. Poseidis, thank you very much. If you've been listening to this, you can see some of both his obvious excitement and my excitement as this revolution in cancer, both diagnosis, therapy, and being able to monitor you so that we can turn cancer into a chronic disease and maybe learn to prevent it as these techniques. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to use this type of technique, a nano Velcro chip, to filter out the tumor cells before they become metastases. Coming up, podcast 837, Dr. Joe Salinas, author of Mirror Touch, the Harvard-trained neurologist from Mass General, who shares his experience of synesthesia, a neurologic trait that causes him to literally feel the emotions of his patients. 826, which will be on 5-2, Andy Weil will be here discussing mind over meds. Dr. Joseph Pizarro will be here on the toxin solution, hidden poisons in the air, water, food, and products, on the 25th of April. That's podcast 835. And 834, The Telomere Effect, Elizabeth Blackburn, Nobel Prize winner, will be talking to us. Meredith Walden, author of The Vaccine Race, at 833 on 411. That's April 11th. And that's probably at the start of NBA playoff season, so we'll have to work in some basketball analogies when we talk to her about the vaccine race and the human cost of defeating that disease. 832, Isabella Wentz, Hashimoto's Protocol, pioneering experts in treating thyroid disease. 831, coming up next week, will be a fascinating and wonderful guest. I think maybe I should, I'll tell you about it. It's actually a double guest. It's Mike Osterholm and Mark Olshanker. They're part of the war against killer germs. That is there such a thing as bacterial warfare, or, if you will we be defeated by bacteria rather than cyber warfare or rather than conventional warfare? But today, you've been listening to Dr. Poseidis. We will continue with the news of the week, talking about Alzheimer's, talking about a number of things that we are really exciting in the news of the week, such as, are men more susceptible to being really sick than women with the same disease? And we'll be followed right immediately by Robin Miller talking about why dancing is such a great health event. Stay tuned on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And Dr. Poseidis, thank you very much for being on.